Today is a WRL weather alert day. Starting at 4 o'clock, we go under a wind advisory. We'll talk about how gusty it will be tonight and into tomorrow. At a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms, I'll show you the timeline and what you can see where you are.
Last night, we told you Wells Fargo employees are moving out of downtown Raleigh. Is it a sign of what's to come for more businesses?
And we're following new reports of coyote sightings in Wake County, where people are concerned about safety and the message from wildlife experts.
Today is a WRL weather alert day, and due to the potential for bad weather, Moore County schools have canceled all after-school activities, including after-school daycare. Schools will dismiss at their normal times, though. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. A strong storm system with a history of producing severe weather is headed our way. The timing won't be until closer to the evening commute, so most school systems are keeping with their normal dismissal times. Elizabeth Gardner joins us now to explain when we could see the worst of it.
About 5 o'clock is when we'll begin to see the leading edge of the thunderstorms coming into the area, and it should move out by around midnight. We have a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms, and of course, wind damage would be our greatest threat. Tuesday, we had a level 2 and 3 threat, so this is a level down across the board with a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms. We could still have damaging winds, but it may not be as widespread as we saw on Thursday. We have a wind advisory that goes into effect at 4 o'clock. Winds this afternoon will start gusting to 25 to 30. And then this evening, 40 to 45. It doesn't expire until 6 a.m. on Saturday. So we'll continue to see windy conditions tonight, even after the storms move through and into the day on Saturday. This is a look at the storm right now. There were overnight and early this morning tornado watches. Those have all expired, but we do continue to see some severe thunderstorm warnings. We had a number of tornado warnings early this morning along the line of thunderstorms and lots of lightning, a good bit of rain with this as well. And it's starting to move into the mountains of North Carolina. Again, it doesn't arrive here until closer to 5 or 6 o'clock. We'll continue to see the clouds thickening up, and we'll pause it there at 5 o'clock. Showers and thunderstorms will be spreading across our viewing area at around 6 or 7. And instead of seeing a solid line of storms coming through, these will be more scattered to isolated, but they'll still have the potential to produce some wind damage. We could see winds strong enough to knock down trees, cause power outages, and some damage. We see this finally starting to ease up and pull out of the viewing area by around 10 or 11, and it's out of here completely by the early morning hours tomorrow. We're beginning to see some gusty winds already. We're gusting to 24 miles per hour in Durham and Raleigh, 17 in Southern Pines. And as we head through the afternoon, those winds will really pick up. We'll see wind gusts at 5 o'clock at about 30 miles per hour into the evening and into early tomorrow morning. We'll see those winds gusting 40 to 45 miles per hour. It's going to be very warm this afternoon with this system. I'll show you how warm and why coming up.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, North Carolina Central University's chancellor is resigning. Johnson Akinleye made the announcement this morning. He says he will retire on June 30th of this year. He made the announcement at a Board of Trustees meeting. He was appointed chancellor back in 2017. He says he is deeply grateful to have had the opportunity to lead this esteemed university. A national search will begin for his successor with details to be released soon.
Wells Fargo corporate employees will be moved out of the company's large building in downtown. You're looking at a live picture right now at the Wells Fargo building there. Those employees are headed for other locations across our area. We broke this news in the Live Center during our 5:30 newscast yesterday. This afternoon, we're pushing Wells Fargo for new information and also working to find out if any other major changes could be on the way. WRL's Mark Boyle is joining us near downtown. And Mark, there are new buildings being built down there. Now there are questions about who's going to fill all that office space behind you.
Well, Jeff, it's not all doom and gloom, right? There are new buildings coming online, but the big question for corporate real estate brokers, who's going to fill all of those offices? That building there behind me, the building that says Wells Fargo on the top, getting a lot of attention. And of course, you know, working in the office today is not like it was pre-COVID. Wells Fargo says it's reassigning employees based at its Raleigh Capital Center building there in downtown. The banking giant says it has more real estate than it needs for the number of employees in the area. So what's next? Well, we talk about the branch. It's going to remain open, but Wells Fargo has not confirmed the exact number of workers who will be relocated from that corporate building. As for the rest of downtown, corporate real estate brokers told me this morning to expect other companies to be taking stock and even moving out of downtown to suburban locations, some like North Hills, one going as far as saying the downtown area just is not as desirable as it once was with other options out there. So coming up later this evening, we're talking with those brokers. We're also talking with Visit Raleigh folks about the conventions and visitors who are coming. It's not all bad news, but we're going to get a snapshot, take the temperature, if you will, of what it's like right now in downtown Raleigh. Back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, change to the skyline, change inside those buildings. Now, Mark Boyle live in Raleigh. Happening today, we'll get another update on the project to or the plans to upgrade PNC Arena. The group that runs the arena, the Centennial Authority Board, will meet today, and they will hear from staff and consultants about where the project stands. Some of the plans include repurposing the box office concourse and creating new access points for guests and performers. It's part of a $300 million renovation project for the arena and the surrounding area.
Coyote sightings are becoming more common in Wake County. A viewer sent in this video, but you can't see the coyotes. You can hear them, though. WRL's Shelley Jackson joins us live in Holly Springs with more. Shelley.
Well, Renee, I'm pretty familiar with that sound because I came from Arizona where we see coyotes and hear them on a pretty regular basis. But folks here in this Holly Springs neighborhood, they tell me they're seeing more coyotes here and they're getting a little bit worried about it. Let's take a listen to that video from Sunset Walk. That's pretty crazy, huh? I reached out to Holly Springs Animal Control, and they tell me that coyotes are not that unusual in Holly Springs. Animal Control leaves healthy coyotes alone, and they would only respond to a sick, injured, or aggressive animal. Now, as developments spread out, coyotes are likely to increase. The numbers just will start to go up. This coyote was last seen in Five Points last month. North Carolina Wildlife says coyotes are mostly harmless, but they are very skittish animals. Attacks on people are very rare. They will attack small dogs and cats, so if you're concerned about coyotes in your area, keep your small pets on a leash or inside or supervised at all times. January through June is mating and birth season, and wildlife officials say coyotes are more likely to confront larger dogs during this time. And I've encountered coyotes several times when I'm out running or walking with my dogs. The coyotes tend to keep their space and leave us alone. Renee?
Shelley Jackson live in Wake County, where more and more people are seeing those coyotes and hearing them. Thanks.
A class action lawsuit has been filed against aircraft manufacturer Boeing. Some passengers who were on board that Alaska Airlines flight last week that was forced to make an emergency landing say they were physically injured, while others were emotionally traumatized. Alexandra Hoff reports the company acknowledges the mistake.
1 week after a door plug blew out midair on an Alaskan Airlines flight, the Boeing company is facing a class action lawsuit. The suit was filed in Washington state this week on behalf of multiple passengers on board that Boeing 737 MAX 9 aircraft. They're asking for injury compensation, saying when the aircraft depressurized, it, quote, physically injured some passengers and emotionally traumatized most, if not all, on board. During a Tuesday meeting, Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun acknowledged the company's mistake.
We are going to approach it with 100% and complete transparency every step of the way.
Since the incident, the FAA temporarily grounded Boeing 737 MAX 9s and on Thursday announced an investigation into whether the company, quote, failed to ensure completed products conformed to its approved design and were in condition for safe operation and compliance with FAA regulations. Boeing saying it will cooperate fully.
I got kids, I got grandkids, and so do you. This stuff matters.
But the incident is the latest to plague Boeing's 737 MAX series. The company is still feeling the effects from two deadly crashes nearly 5 years ago.
And at some point, you have to look at the management and say, wait a second, why does this keep happening? Why is the entire fleet grounded yet again?
That was Alexandra Hoff reporting. Today, the FAA announced plans to increase oversight of Boeing manufacturing and audit the production of those particular 737s. Let's take a look. It's the last full day of this is the first full week of trading for the new year. And as we reach the last day of it, you can see Dow Jones Industrial Average, much like yesterday, started off in positive territory, but it is down 200 points this noon.
This morning, Raleigh kicked off a weekend of events honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A wreath-laying ceremony took place this morning at the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Gardens. The Raleigh Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance organized this ceremony. This is the 44th year of the event in Raleigh, and people who attended say it's important we don't forget.
Dr. King was about rebuilding the community. He said, I didn't do all that marching just to get a cup of coffee. I did that marching so that we can build our communities up. And I'm not just talking about communities of color, because when communities of color come up, America comes up.
Coming up in our next half hour, we'll talk live with Dr. Dumas Harshaw about this year's Interfaith Prayer Breakfast in Durham. Capital Broadcasting Company is a proud sponsor.
It takes a village to realize a dream. That's the theme of this year's Dream Fest celebration in Cary. This is video from a previous event. Tomorrow, the town will hold a big event at the Cary Arts Center from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. There'll be a cultural art show, food trucks, community resource fair, and an arts and crafts zone. It is free to attend. Next at noon, Congress is getting a briefing on UFOs, a classified information that's expected to come out.
Also, the New England Patriots wasted no time replacing a legend on the sideline, who the team named as the new head coach.
Plus, a new push from the Biden administration to cancel student loan debt. Who could qualify for the program?
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Congress is investigating what they call unidentified anomalous phenomena. The rest of us call them UFOs. Caroline Shively reports it's about more than little green men. The hearing is about billions of dollars going into the Pentagon's secret programs.
Oh, we're looking. And so is the House Oversight Committee, holding a closed-door meeting Friday about UFOs. This video of a Navy F-A-18 jet crew's encounter is just one of the mysteries they're looking into, a sighting already investigated by the Pentagon.
Here we've spent tens of millions of dollars on something that they say doesn't exist. You know, and I'm not talking about little green men or flying saucers. I'd just like to know what they're spending the money on.
Congress seems less interested in outer space than the inner workings of secret Pentagon programs.
The helicopters that wound up killing Osama bin Laden over a decade ago, those were part of an advanced technology program. They were helicopters that nobody knew existed. They came out of Area 51, by the way.
And the U.S. is not the only country sending secret aircraft into the sky.
We know there is drone technology that Russia, China, Iran has been developing. We know that China has been actively spying through spy balloons.
A bipartisan House bill introduced Thursday would create a way for commercial pilots and other airline employees to report UFO sightings to the federal government.
It's really important that there's disclosure and transparency. I think that's what the public wants. And so we've got to just take it with seriousness. It is not a joke.
That was Caroline Shively reporting. When will the public get answers? Maybe never. This hearing is behind closed doors because so much of the information is classified.
The NFL playoffs start this weekend here on WRAL and Fox 50. And this year, that yellow first down line that changed the way we watch football games turns 25 years old. We've all gotten so used to that yellow line flashing on the field during NFL and college games. Networks were skeptical at first, but one sports producer quickly became a believer during a preseason test run.
When I went into their truck and saw the yellow line and saw it, you know, in real context of football and the game, it was a no-brainer. This was going to be additive for the viewers.
And a little fun fact here, Durham-based sports technology company SMT Visual Data Intelligence created that yellow first down line that we have all gotten used to seeing watching those NFL games.
The New England Patriots didn't have to go far to find Bill Belichick's replacement. Multiple media networks are reporting New England has hired Jerod Mayo to be its next head coach. Mayo is a former New England player who joined the coaching staff in 2019 as an inside linebackers coach. Sources say Mayo had it written into his contract last year that he would be Belichick's successor. At 37 years old, Mayo will become the NFL's youngest head coach. The Patriots plan to introduce Mayo at a press conference next week. We have you covered on all things NFL this weekend. Tomorrow afternoon at 4:30, the Cleveland Browns play the Houston Texans on WRAL. Wild Card Weekend continues Sunday. At 4:30, the Green Bay Packers travel to Dallas to play the Cowboys on Fox 50. Then at 8:15, the Detroit Lions host the Los Angeles Rams on WREL.
Also, the NFL is taking a bit of heat for a cold weather game that's coming up. This one could be the coldest ever. The Dolphins and Chiefs game will be streamed live on Peacock tomorrow night at 8. It's the first NFL playoff game to air exclusively on a streaming service. There's no option for NBC affiliates like WREL to carry this game.
One of the writers of the mega hit movie Top Gun Maverick is said to be writing a script for the next movie. It would reunite Tom Cruise with his next gen co-stars. The director of Maverick is set to return, but you won't be seeing a trailer anytime soon. Cruise is currently working on the eighth Mission Impossible movie that will be due in theaters May 2025.
I'll be performing the songs my fans want to hear.
Production on the Michael Jackson biopic begins January 22nd. Now, Lionsgate and Universal Pictures International say Michael will bring audiences an honest portrayal of the brilliant yet complicated entertainer. Jackson's nephew, Jafar Jackson, stars as the King of Pop. Equalizer director Antoine Fuqua is directing the production. Michael is due in theaters April 18th of 2025.
We know the music will be good for that.
There's no doubt. There's legendary.
That. Let's get you caught up on what you need to know for the WREL Weather Alert Day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner running through our severe weather risk.
Our biggest threat this afternoon and evening is going to be damaging winds. We couldn't rule out a few isolated tornadoes. That's a level one risk for our northern counties and a level two risk for the bulk of us. We also have a wind advisory that goes into effect at 4 o'clock this afternoon and doesn't end until Saturday morning. If you remember last Tuesday, even after the storms ended, it was a very windy night, and it was breezy in the morning on Wednesday. We'll see the same thing for tonight and tomorrow with winds gusting 40 to 45 miles per hour. We'll take another look at this storm system. I was following it all morning. We did have some severe thunderstorm warnings and tornado warnings, tornado watches along the line here. None of that is active right now, so that's definitely a good sign. But as it continues to move eastward into our area, of course, we expect that we will have at least some isolated potential for thunderstorms. Lots of snow with this too. You can see up along the Great Lakes and up into parts of the Midwest, that's headed off to the northeast too. So we're going to be dealing with some wintry weather as well. You can see as we push this ahead in time, we still have a lot of lightning and thunder, but currently no warnings associated with this. But there were a lot of them this morning, just a strong line of thunderstorms producing those severe thunderstorm warnings and tornado warnings. At 5 o'clock, we start to see the rain pushing into our viewing area. Timing on that's not great. It's Friday. Typically, there are a lot of people out on the roads on a Friday evening. And between 5 and 6 o'clock, we see that rain spreading across the area, 7 o'clock. And there are going to be cells that pop up that have the potential to produce some wind damage. Instead of a powerful line of thunderstorms coming through like we saw on Tuesday, sometimes these can be a little bit weaker than that powerful line, but they still have the potential to knock down trees, cause power outages. So something that we'll be taking seriously. Kat and Amy will be in the Weather Center tracking all that for you this evening, and we see the end of this around midnight or 1 a.m. But again, as I mentioned, it stays breezy. We take a look at our wind gust forecast as we get through the afternoon. Some gusts up to 25, 30, and then overnight 40. Mile per hour gusts are possible. We take another look at our current wind speeds and gusts. The gusts are on the right side, so we're gusting to 17 in Southern Pines, gusting to almost 25 around the Triangle area right now. Our steady wind is coming out of the south at about 5 to 10, 15 miles per hour. We've had a lot of high thin cloud cover moving in so far today, and we'll continue to see that. Our temperatures are pretty mild, 57 right now. We'll climb on up into the low to mid 60s through the afternoon and evening. Our dew point is still low at 30. We'll likely see that climbing a good bit before we have enough moisture in the atmosphere to support a lot of thunderstorms. So we should expect to see that climbing up into the 50s too. Right now it's 50 in Roxboro, 57 Clinton and Goldsboro, 56 degrees in Rocky Mount. It will be a warm evening. Temperatures right now already in the mid to upper 50s, and we'll climb on up into the low and mid 60s as we head through the evening. After that, for the weekend, we're back to near normal. Our highs will be in the low to mid 50s. We'll see plenty of sunshine on Saturday and Sunday. But by Monday, we start to see the change in our weather pattern. We'll see cold temperatures on Monday morning, now down near freezing for anyone headed out to Martin Luther King Jr. Celebrations. Of course, the prayer breakfast in the Triangle area over in Durham. 5 o'clock temperatures are only in the upper 40s, so it's going to stay chilly for Monday. Monday stays dry, but it looks like we could see a chilly rain on Tuesday. And then the high of 38 on Wednesday. Coming up, I'll show you how long it's been since we've had highs in the 30s here.
All that to look forward to after we get through today's rough weather. All right, Elizabeth, thanks. Food at three local restaurants thrown out after inspectors found problems. Today at 5, Five on Your Side is walking you through the violations discovered in this week's restaurant ratings.
Also today at 4, we are getting our first in-person look at the newest hotel to apartment living space in Midtown. Matt Tallhelm shows us what it's like to live in the converted space. And still ahead this noon, a recall for a piece of equipment meant to protect your children from tipping furniture. What you need to know to stay safe.
For the first time ever, investors can trade Bitcoin funds on U.S. exchanges. But will the cryptocurrency become a respected investment? You're looking live at Wrightsville Beach. Quiet and peaceful this time of year. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. The stock market is getting a makeover. If you've been considering investing in Bitcoin, now could be your chance. Jackie Abanez explains a new move giving people an opportunity to indirectly invest in Bitcoin with fewer risk.
For the first time ever, investors can trade Bitcoin funds on U.S. exchanges like NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange.
This is really a legitimizing moment for Bitcoin that will lead to the asset being in every pension fund, every retirement account. Every grandma is going to have some exposure to Bitcoin.
With the green light from the Securities and Exchange Commission, 11 Bitcoin exchange traded funds, or ETFs, are now up for trading. On their first day, over $4.6 billion worth of shares swapped hands.
It democratizes Bitcoin in that it makes it more available to more people.
But ETFs are different from Bitcoin. ETFs charge fees, and having one doesn't put actual Bitcoin in your account. You're investing in the cryptocurrency, but can't use it.
If you're a purist and you're just holding Bitcoin for the long term as a digital gold, as I am, I would never buy an ETF. Why would I pay these fees? It's completely unnecessary.
But ETFs lower the risks for those hesitant to purchase the volatile coin. The price of Bitcoin has soared following the SEC's approval, trading at over $47,000 Thursday. Yet, time will tell if the digital currency will gain acceptance as an investment.
We're in the first inning, and regarding 11 of these ETFs, not a chance they all survive.
That was Jackie Abanez reporting. Advocates for cryptocurrency hope this move from the SEC encourages Congress to consider creating a digital dollar.
CVS Health will close some pharmacies operating inside Target stores over the next few months. Prescriptions will be transferred to a nearby CVS store. CVS has nearly 1,800 pharmacies inside Target stores nationwide. The company declined comment on which locations will be affected, but says employees will be offered a comparable position elsewhere. New warnings for parents who bought kits to prevent furniture from tipping over on kids. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says millions of new age furniture tip restraint kits sold with various furniture products are being recalled for potentially breaking. The plastic zip tie that comes with the kit can become weak or break from a wall, causing the furniture to fall on a child. No injuries have been reported. Consumers with the recalled kit are advised to contact Alliance for Safety for a free replacement.
You're looking live at Roxborough right now. It is a WRL weather alert day. Storms will not be as widespread as they were on Tuesday. Elizabeth returns after the break with when the wind and rain will ramp up.
Plus, good news for more students with college loan debts. We'll break down who else could get some relief. And here's a look at your NC Education winning lottery numbers.
It's a WRAL weather alert day, and that means we could be in for a rough night, but it won't play out the way it did Tuesday.
Power crews, though, they are resetting right now in preparation for high wind and some potential power outages. WRAL's Elizabeth Gardner tells us when we expect it to roll in.
This is likely to start right around the time of the evening commute, so somewhere around 5 o'clock in our western counties, moving eastward through 7 and 8 o'clock, and then finally out of the viewing area around midnight or so. It's a level 1 and 2 risk for severe storms, and damaging wind would be our biggest threat. So a level 1 risk up near the Virginia line. Everybody else in that level 2 risk. Damaging winds are possible. We're not going to see a big line of thunderstorms like we saw on Tuesday. These storms will be more isolated, so we won't see likely as many instances of wind damage as we did on Tuesday. But we're still going to see some strong winds. A wind advisory kicks in at 4 o'clock and lasts until 6 a.m. on Saturday. We could see winds overnight gusting to, say, 40, 45 miles per hour. We're already seeing gusts at about 25 miles per hour in the Triangle, 17 in Southern Pines. As we get through the afternoon, say by 4 or 5 o'clock, gusts up to 30, 35, and then eventually 40 to 45. And you can see that here, about 3 o'clock, 25 mile per hour wind gusts, at 5 o'clock, 30, and then gusting steadily at about 40 to 45 through the night. Now, on Tuesday, the forecast for power outages was scattered for today. That estimate is isolated. So back a notch in terms of what our severe threat is, and back a notch in terms of what we're expecting in terms of power outages. This storm system, though, has been powerful as it moved across the Deep South. We had tornado watches, tornado warnings, severe thunderstorm warnings, and still a lot of lightning with this. The rain's starting to move into the mountains of North Carolina, and again, we would expect it around 5 o'clock. We take a look at Futurecast. You can see the clouds continuing to thicken up. There's the rain at 5 o'clock starting to move into our western counties, spreading across the entire viewing area between 6 and 7. We'll see isolated cells that could produce some wind damage, and that continues all the way until we get to, say, 9 or 10, and then gradually everything moves out. We're going to talk about some cold air that comes in behind this next week, coming up in just a few minutes.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, RDU seeing a lot of delays and cancellations right now. This is a live look at the airport. But according to FlightAware, right now, 33 delays and 17 cancellations. The number of flight delays and cancellations is ticking up across the country. Many in the Midwest and South are dealing with those messy conditions because of that storm. Chicago area airports are leading the list right now. Other affected airports are in Denver and Milwaukee. Also, those flights are being canceled and delayed because of the grounding of those 737 MAX 9 planes. More than 200 United and Alaska Airlines flights have been canceled each day this week. But again, right now, 33 delays at RDU and 17 cancellations. So check your flight if you're heading out the door.
And you will want, with all this information, to be sure you have the WRAL News app for updates about today's weather. Be sure to turn on the notifications as well, so you'll get up-to-the-minute alerts to keep you and your family safe.
New this noon, a renewed push from the Biden administration to cancel student loan debt for many Americans. That could happen next month, nearly 6 months ahead of schedule. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us now with who could be eligible for this loan forgiveness program. Ken.
Renee, that loan forgiveness program was scheduled to take effect in July as part of the new SAVE repayment plan. SAVE stands for Saving on a Valuable Education. Now, the plan is now being fast-tracked to, as the Biden administration puts it, provide faster relief to borrowers. This comes as a recent Department of Education report indicated many Americans are falling behind on repaying their student loans after a three-year pause because of the pandemic. The study found about 40% of the 22 million borrowers who had bills due in October were not eligible to make their payments. So here's who is eligible to have their student debt canceled next month. Borrowers who are enrolled in the new SAVE plan, people who borrowed $12,000 or less to attend college, and borrowers who have made at least 10 years of payments toward their student loans. No word yet on how many people will actually be eligible to get their student debt canceled by next month. We'll, of course, keep you posted. You can read more about this story on WRAL.com.
Ken, thank you. School systems and state authorities are making their case to keep a multi-billion dollar education plan in place for North Carolina schools. The so-called Leandro plan would raise teacher pay, increase spending for students with disabilities, and change policies to help struggling schools. State executives and several low-income school systems support the plan, but state lawmakers have different ideas. School systems and the state filed arguments with the North Carolina Supreme Court this week. They said the court should not reconsider the plan. Lawmakers want the plan struck down. The state Supreme Court will hear the case next month. Leandro is a case our WRAL documentary team has done a lot of work on. You can watch the full documentary, Leandro, the case for a basic sound education, on our WRAL Doc YouTube page.
Starting this month, public school students in California will be required to study media literacy. Evan Brown explains how artificial intelligence will play a big role in these lessons.
In today's politically charged world, the term media literacy packs quite a punch. Some see it as a way of indoctrinating kids. Others as a vital tool for spotting so-called fake news. Now, the Golden State is putting both theories to the test. A new California law requires students K through 12 to learn media literacy in public school, a move being applauded by most edtech experts.
What we're talking about is the ability to determine when information is more or less likely to be truthful and trustworthy. It's pretty basic, and I think it's something that everyone can agree is a useful life skill.
A big part of the program will involve artificial intelligence on both ends of the spectrum. Students will be shown how AI is impacting the media landscape by personalizing content, but they'll also need to use that same AI technology to avoid trouble spots online.
Take a pragmatic, holistic approach and look at AI is a source of media content that needs to be critically analyzed. But then also we can use AI just to create scenarios that help us learn how media can misinform us.
Ultimately, most students today are digital natives who grew up with the internet and social media, meaning they're in a unique position to learn not just which websites to avoid, but how to make those decisions for themselves.
So the student can determine, like, what are the symptoms here? What are the aspects of this content that make me believe that it's trustworthy or not?
A winter storm in Iowa is putting Iowa in the deep freeze. The impact that could have on the nation's leadoff presidential caucuses.
Al Gore will no longer be serving on Apple's board of directors. Why it has to do with his age. You can download the WRAL News app on your phone to keep up with weather alerts wherever you are. You can also watch our live coverage on the app as this storm system moves through tonight so that you and your family stay informed and stay safe. There's life-threatening weather in Iowa right now. Some Republicans are concerned it could affect turnout for the caucus. Now, forecasters are predicting the life-threatening weather in the Hawkeye State. They're just 3 days before the first votes are cast ahead of the 2024 presidential election. Nikki Haley is holding virtual town halls. Ron DeSantis canceled some events, but is still going to some others. Former President Donald Trump will hold his final events in Iowa this weekend. Officials say the U.S. and U.K. military struck more than 60 Houthi targets in Yemen overnight. It's in response to the Iran-backed group's attacks on commercial shipping vessels along the Red Sea trade route. Those threaten to drive up the cost of oil, gas, and other goods globally. Some congressional leaders are expressing bipartisan support for the strikes.
Six crew members are recovering after a U.S. Navy helicopter crashed into the San Diego Bay. It happened last night during a training mission. Due to the nature of the training, a safety boat was nearby, and all six crew members survived and were rescued. They were brought ashore and were undergoing a medical evaluation. The cause of the crash is still under investigation. Al Gore is stepping down from Apple's board of directors. The former vice president has served on Apple's board since 2003. Now, the company has a long-standing policy that its directors are not eligible for re-election after they reach the age of 75. That means it's time for Gore, who is now 75, to retire from the board. Apple CEO Tim Cook praised Gore's service, highlighting his work on protecting user privacy and his knowledge of environmental and climate issues. Honoring the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the many events taking place to make sure his memory and mission live on. Plus, this year's Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas is all about artificial intelligence. One company hopes to bring people together using holograms.
Monday, the nation will remember civil rights leader Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on what would have been his 95th birthday. And here in the Triangle, there are several events planned to honor his legacy and achieve the dream, a day of action, a day of service. And joining us to talk about some of the local events that are going on, Dr. Dumont Harshaw.
thank you so much for joining us.
Delighted to be here.
I know you have been actively involved for years in planning this celebration. How has it evolved over time?
Yeah, it really, we're talking about 44 years of remembering the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and a contribution that he made, and also lifting our consciousness in terms of what America can be and can look like. I've been involved for approximately almost 27 years, serving as senior pastor of First Baptist Church, Wilmington Street, but then have served as co-chair with Mr. Bruce Leitner when it was a celebration committee, and as a triangle MLK committee, serving as chairman of the board. And so it's a delight to plan every year and to see the community involved, the faith leaders and our community leaders really lift it up and lift up our message. And our message this year is it starts with me creating the beloved community, because so many people, you know, refer to what are they doing or they should do this. And that's a legitimate, you know, question, an issue. But more so, we're turning it on ourselves. What can we do to make America better, to make North Carolina better, to make the Triangle better, and the city of Raleigh better?
And we're talking about Monday, but the event's already started this morning. The wreath laying at the MLK Jr. statue in Raleigh. Tomorrow's going to be the National Day of Racial Healing. Tell us about that. That's at the First Baptist
Church. Salisbury, and his partnership sponsored by the YMCA of the Triangle, you know, in line with the National Day of Healing. And it really... really fits well with our motto, our theme, to raise the issues that can bring us together, issues about reconciliation, how to talk about the hard issues and truthfully acknowledge them so that we can get beyond them and come together as a people of all peoples.
And we looked at some video here of the prayer breakfast that was going on. CBC is a proud sponsor of that breakfast and that is going to happen on Monday.
Thank you. It means so much.
What can folks expect at that?
Well, you got to get there early. Now, it starts at 7:15 a.m., but people gather at 6 a.m. for a free, full breakfast. Wonderful energy in the building, prophetic messages, many interfaith prayers, a sense of unity among the people, great music and songs, but also to focus on what it means to do the work of creating a beloved community and bring people together in a significant way.
And I know that they line up early because it is free. It's first come, first serve.
So first come, first
get,
come.
Get there early, open to the public.
Indeed.
Dr. Dumas Harshaw, thank you so much for previewing some of these events. It's a very active and service-minded day.
Well, thank you for this time.
Certainly. Appreciate it. Renee?
Jeff, thank you. Always great to hear Dr. Harshaw share his message. And as Jeff talked about, some MLK events in Raleigh started this morning. Glad they had dry weather for that. Come Monday for the holiday, it's going to be really cold. And in between, we're going to get some stormy weather. Here's Elizabeth Gardner with when all that will start.
We're likely to see it starting around 5, 6 o'clock. So it's something that will affect our evening commute. It's a level 1 risk in our northern counties and a level 2 risk for the rest of the viewing area. Damaging winds would be our greatest threat. I wouldn't expect to see a lot of tornadoes, but one or two certainly could pop up. We do have a wind advisory that begins at 4 o'clock. Winds this afternoon will be gusting 25 to 30, but this evening 40 to 45. That will continue past the storm. Storms should be tapering off around midnight or so, but we'll continue to see the windy conditions tonight. And at 6 a.m., we see the advisory being canceled. So we take a look at satellite and radar. Early this morning, overnight last night, we did have some severe storms with this system. We had a tornado watch. We had tornado warnings and severe thunderstorm warnings. For the moment, everything has quieted down a little bit. There's still a lot of lightning with this as it starts to push into the southeast. We'll zoom in a little bit more closely, and you can see just how close the rain is getting to us right now. We're seeing some showers in Asheville and Greenville, so back across the mountains, and this will continue to push eastward into our area with thunder and lightning. If you're planning to travel west of the Triangle, you're going to run into some of that rain a little bit earlier. Let's talk about the fuel for storms. It looks like we'll have the best chance of seeing any strong thunderstorms starting at around 8 or 9 o'clock, so a little later on in the evening. There's 10 o'clock, and then by 12 o'clock, it's starting to push out of our viewing area. So if we're going to see any straight-line winds, potentially isolated tornadoes, that's probably going to be the best window of opportunity. Ahead of that, we'll likely see some scattered showers that begin to move in at 5 o'clock. There's 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock. By 7 and 8 o'clock, it's spread across the area. This is not going to be a strong line of thunderstorms like we saw on Tuesday, but instead, we'll see scattered storms popping up And within those scattered cells, we could see winds that are strong enough to cause some power outages. For ahead of Tuesday, it looked like we would see scattered power outages. We definitely did. We had scattered reports of trees down all across the viewing area. It's isolated this time. So we're looking at fewer instances of wind damage, but we still have the potential, if it's your tree on your house, it's going to be impactful. So just keep that in mind. Keep tuned into WREL. As soon as the storms start to move into your area, Kat and Amy will be walking you through and talking about what you can do to stay safe. But take a look at our forecast rainfall, looking at anywhere from a quarter of an inch to an inch of rain, an average of about half an inch. So we're not looking at a great chance for flooding this time. We did have some flooding on Tuesday. And you can take a look at our winds as we get through the afternoon and evening, starting to gust up to 40 miles per hour. We have snow on the north end of this. It's already snowing in Chicago and up around the Great Lakes. That will stretch into the Northeast and into New England. And so there could be some airport delays. Michelle was talking about that a little bit earlier in the Live Center. So expect that. And then behind that, we're going to see cold temperatures. The coldest air doesn't get to us right away. But for parts of the country, look at that. Rapid City, tomorrow, a wind chill of minus 35, minus 40, minus 35 in Des Moines. And then gradually, as we get into the middle of next week, we start to see that colder air sweeping through. We could see wind chills in the single digits potentially on Wednesday morning. And the cold temperatures will be with us for a few days. Wednesday's forecast high is 38. And the last time we saw temperatures that cold was December 24th, 2022. So some of the coldest air we've seen in quite some time comes in. Now for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, our temperatures will be in the upper 40s during the afternoon, near freezing in the morning as folks are headed out to the prayer breakfast. Monday stays dry. Tuesday looks like a chilly rain. And then the cold temperatures linger through the end of next week.
Advanced technology is letting people visit loved ones who might be miles and miles away. How the Holobox is helping people cope with feelings of isolation and loneliness. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Today is the WREL Weather Alert Day due to the potential for rough weather. A strong storm system with a history of producing severe weather is headed our way. Moore County schools have canceled all after-school activities, including after-school daycare.
North Carolina Central University's chancellor is retiring. Johnson McKinley told the North Carolina Central University Board of Trustees that he will retire. He said that today from his position as chancellor. He'll do so at the end of the academic year. He has served in that role since 2017.
A Holly Springs neighborhood is on alert after a neighbor recorded a video of yelping coyotes. Experts say coyote sightings are becoming more common in Wake County, and WREL News reported numerous coyote sightings in 2023. Animal control officers urge people to leave healthy coyotes alone. They say a response is only needed if the animal appears sick, injured, or aggressive.
A new high-tech creation could change how you project your true self through 3D holograms. A company based in the Netherlands has created the Holobox, a hologram-style imaging system that can create a lifelike version of the user, and users can create the 3D hologram image, and it can be projected anywhere in the world. Creators hope the hologram images of loved ones and friends will help feelings of isolation end, as well as loneliness. The 86-inch Holobox will run you about $40,000 to $50,000.
Our pet of the day is a happy-go-lucky girl who's never met a stranger. Quinley is a 3-year-old spayed female dog. She's a great size at just 38 pounds. She's all about playtime, belly rubs, kisses, and cuddles. Quinley loves playing with her toys in the yard. She enjoys a good game of fetch, except for the part about bringing the ball back. Quinley has best friend and adventure buddy potential written all over her. For more information or if you want to meet her, please visit spcawake.org.
A lot of adults and children don't get the recommended amount of vitamin D. And coming up at 4, the signs you may be vitamin D deficient and the effect that can have on your body.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app, and have a great weekend.
Stay safe with the latest WREL Weather Alert Day info. Get up-to-the-minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM.